around. This week's episode of Magnify, we are joined by Eric Preston of Agent Launch. What's up, Eric? Thank you for joining us.
What's up, Paolo? Nice to be here.
I always like our guests to kind of give an intro of themselves, of their business, what they do. Just, you know, you're going to do a better job than I will. So if you want to give a little 30-second elevator pitch on what you guys do, your real estate background, and we'll kind of get into it from there.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I founded Agent Launch. So we're a team of 19 people around the world. Our stance in the industry is we build real estate agents' client acquisition systems online that they own and control. So the industry is fettered with companies that have what I call rental services, where you're stuck paying them. Think of Zillow, Realtor, that kind of stuff. And the second you stop paying them, the second you stop getting leads or whatnot. So we have kind of combated that by providing a variety of different services under one roof, from lead generation, specifically using Google, YouTube, video editing, recruitment and training services, basically to help agents build leverage in their business and set the foundation to grow while building inside of their ecosystem, not outside of it. That's really the big selling point of Agent Launch that our clients love, is that there's no black box with us. You get full insight and transparency into everything that's going on.
And was this born of, because you're an agent yourself, right? Was this born of seeing that there was a need for it in the marketplace? Were you out there and finding, you know, you were using products that were giving you junk leads and things like that? Or was it something you always wanted to get into?
Yeah, it actually was a progression of problem solving. I would describe it as, in the early days, well, you know, when I first started, I originally worked for another agency. I became an agent myself, did a lot of the stuff I was teaching, and then I ended up starting an online course on how to effectively run Google ads. So that created the problem of conversion. So we mastered the lead generation, and that created the problem of conversion. And so what happened was, you know, a lot of people were not running their ads correctly, even with coaching, if they found it difficult because they just weren't an advertiser. And so I started off teaching that, and then I went into doing it for them because there was a demand for that. People were just like, Eric, can you just handle this? I don't have time. And then that grew into an ISA service because agents weren't always able to find the time to make the calls, make the prospecting efforts that they needed to. That grew into a recruiting service because we believe in actually staffing people on your team as opposed to outsourcing. It's usually more effective. And then that grew into, you know, I was always very successful with YouTube, so I really wanted to incorporate that. And we started to not only recruit talent to help work the leads, we started helping people create YouTube videos to help prospect with. And then we built an editing service through what we were doing in-house. And then we started taking off the editing and the branding of the videos. Then we added another role to our placement service, which we call our REOA role, which is more of a VA or admin / marketing support type role. And so that's kind of how it came about. It just came about from like, hey, these new problems kept coming up and we kept wanting to solve them in-house as opposed to looking to outside providers.
And in terms of the agents that weren't getting success from the ads, what were some of the mistakes they were making that you noticed and you were able to kind of identify and kind of get them on the right path, so to speak.
Can I be very honest?
Yeah.
They're just lazy usually. Yeah. It's not like they don't often have the tools. It's more about how they action them. And I think that's the problem in the real estate marketing industry is I am fully aware that probably 95% of real estate marketing agencies out there do not have a winning product. It makes it very confusing for most people on when they're deciding between who to use or who to work with. And most people have gotten burned before. But the reality is just most companies, they don't have a full solution. And agents are kind of lost in the next shiny object because people are just packaging up the same old stuff and selling it in different ways. And it's really confusing. There's always something new. It's like it's hard to sift through all that noise. And so we wanted to put together a really comprehensive package with clear direction on a system that works. And, you know, that's what separates the people that have disproportionate success with any program. It doesn't matter what program out there, there's usually going to be some people who succeed and some who don't. And usually if you talk to a real estate coach, they'll usually tell you it comes down to the individual effort that person has put in. Because there's people out there who will buy a program because it sounds cool and they'll never touch it, right? Yeah. People have given me money and I've never talked to them again. And I'm like kind of blown away that they're just like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. And they just never showed up and it just never came to fruition. Then we have our, you know, a large amount at this point of really great clients who are doing 12 to 50 deals a year working with us extra. And it's like, so it's not like a solution works or it doesn't work. It's like not every solution's for everyone. And I think at the end of the day, what it usually comes down to is a combination of what that service that's being given is and how that person is taking advantage of it. That's why I feel like you can never take someone else's opinion or experience. Like you can't give it too much credit because you never know if they were that person or not, unless you really trust them.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, could any agent come to you guys, use your services and get success? Or is there, you know, certain traits or certain work ethics that they need to have in order to get that success? Or do you guys, you know, any agent can come to you and you're going to put them through the system and they're going to get transactions out of it?
Yeah, this is a good question. And this is something I work with our clients on a lot, is finding your ideal target market, audience, ideal client, whatever you want to call it. Our ideal client is someone who's 25 to 45, understands technology a little bit. We obviously take a lot off their plate. Generally are doing 15 sales a year already, and they're kind of at that place where they realize, if I want to produce more, I'd say our average client who comes on board is probably doing about 25 sales a year. So we're kind of if you're doing 50 sales a year to 50 sales a year, that's kind of the range where we tend to work with people. We find sometimes it's hard if people are doing 200 sales a year already to bring new tools into the mix. Like they're so invested in what they're already doing. So it's kind of that sweet spot. I'd say our average client is like, yeah, probably 15 to like 35 sales in that range is probably primarily where we bring people in. And they're finding themselves, they're like, okay, I'm stretched for time, or I'm starting to get there. I know I need to build leverage around me. How do I do that? What's the best way to do that? And potentially they want to build an additional lead channel to what they have to feed the team they know they need to build. And so they need systems, they need people, they need leads. They probably want to leverage some video. So we help them set the foundation for that growth.
What have you seen in terms of lead generation? There's a question I want to ask in a little bit, a bit more specific to that, but what kind of successful things occur in order to generate leads? Because you can run ads, you can get thousands of page views. What is it that makes someone click on that button, register, give you their information? What is it about what you guys are doing that kind of sets you apart without giving away the secret sauce?
I'm a big believer in giving away the secret sauce. I actually put out a video today on my YouTube video scripting secret sauce, if you will. But I'm a big believer in giving people what they want and what they expect. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, is something's out of alignment. And what I call this is continuity. So specifically speaking to Google Ads, because I think that's what you're getting at, in line with what we do and what Showcase IDX provides, is if we're going to run targeted Google Ads, which is probably the backbone of our business, I would say, it's important to target keywords that are very hyper relevant to what type of person you want to serve. So like we have clients where we run ads in Spanish for the Latin American market, you know, in their city. Some of them are in Miami or some other parts of the US. We've run ads in French for our French clients who wanted to target France. And so I think beyond that, it's like understanding what you want to do, because we have clients who target like farm and ranch properties or luxury properties or downtown condos. And when you decide on what it is you're really looking to niche in on, and it doesn't always have to be a property type, it can just be an area, an area that isn't Chicago, you know, somewhere more specific. Yeah. And then make sure your keywords are really aligned to that. And then whatever your ad says, so the headlines, descriptions, all of that, lines up with whatever keywords they're targeting. So if they type in, you know, Bellevue, Washington condos for sale, like your ad should read Bellevue condos for sale, click here kind of thing. And then when they get to your website, they should only see condos in Bellevue. And it's funny. Right. It sounds so simple and basic, but that's where a lot of people go wrong, is they're you know, their search terms and their keywords are getting mixed in and they're not giving people what they want and expect exactly. And that user experience has to be dialed in. And that's why I think Showcase is the leader in terms of plugin IDX, because you guys have such a robust and a wealth of information for those people who are making these searches. And so it's important to just get them there in the right way. Because if you type in condos for sale in Bellevue and click on a link and it shows them a bunch of farms, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to leave. Your quality score is going to go down. Your lead cost is going to go up. You're just going to be burning money.
Yeah. So on this line, I often cite you guys when I'm doing demos and stuff, because it was something that one of your engineers, I think, said in a meeting we had about registration settings and how many properties you should allow someone to view. I was always, you know, when I was an agent, I went with the, oh, let them see whatever they want to see. You know, they'll register if they want to register. I'm not going to say what was said. I'm curious if you're going to provide the same answer. What is your recommendation for that?
The general rule of thumb is force them right away.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's what we've always done. I've had this conversation many times, of course, with clients. And people feel like it's a little aggressive or pushy to do that, but it's what's required. Now, I do have some clients who allow people to, you know, see a couple properties.
Yeah.
And it still works. You have to expect your lead cost to go up. Does your quality go up too along with it? Yes, but is it proportionate to being the best strategy? No.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was always of the opinion, let people see what they want to see, but it also comes down to getting people to sign in when they're on your site. Because you may have generated the lead, especially with something like Showcase. You can see search activity of mm-hmm. people, and it's going to give you such valuable information. And if you're letting people see 10 properties without signing in, you're not going to get any of that stuff. So I've definitely changed my tune on that, and I'm always citing that kind of recommendation.
You kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, a big part of what we teach our prospecting model is leveraging what people want, which is to look at homes, just following what they're doing, which you can only do when they're signed in, and then proactively sending them value. So what I love to do is, if someone's searching in, let's use the Bellevue example, I would be in there and I would be texting them a video that I made about Bellevue. I'd be saying, hey, Paolo, I noticed you searched for 15 homes in Bellevue in the last couple of days. I just wanted to send you a video on the best neighborhoods in Bellevue, in my opinion. And this is where having like YouTube content ready to go, mm-hmm. where if you focus on YouTube for 6 months, you should have a pretty good base of videos that you can send to people in most situations. And it seems very tailored and customized. But how helpful is that for someone in that journey? Like, a better example is this. We have some clients in Hawaii, and one of our guys in Kona, he's awesome. I love this example because he made a video about property pitfalls in Hawaii, is what he called it. And So it was basically what makes the Hawaii real estate market unique. And one of the things was lava zones. Like, they have lava zones. And I hadn't really heard of that before. And so how good would it be for, you know, a buyer in California who's looking at properties in Hawaii to get a text saying, hey, Paolo, I noticed you're searching for homes a lot in Kona lately. I just wanted to say in this video, I think it might be helpful. These are some things a lot of people don't know about buying real estate here in Kona. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very helpful. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to make your website stickier than others. Because at the end of the day, people are going to be using two or three websites in their search. It's about making yours the stickiest, most no-brainer site to keep coming back to.
Yeah. I love that point you just made, that multiple sites are going to be used by people, because I think there is an expectation or a misconception that my site is going to be the only site that someone uses. And if they're not using my site, then forget about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's very realistic, and it's good to set those expectations that you're not going to be the only game in town. No matter what you do, there's always going to be Zillow. There's always going to be a big brokerage. But like you said, if you can make your site sticky, mm-hmm. that's where the value comes in. When it comes to follow-up and stuff, what kind of timelines are you seeing? I mean, I'm sure it varies, right? It depends on the person, where they are in their buying timeline. But what kind of time length are you seeing from someone registering on a client's site until they've got a transaction on the back end of it?
So that is a good question. It just really depends on the time of year. Well, it depends on a lot of factors. This is the thing that's hard to explain to people is you always get asked about conversion rates. And how I try to explain this is if I take a really good agent and I take like a subpar agent and I give them the same leads, this good agent might close 10 times as many. So there isn't a conversion rate, a standard conversion rate. There's a range that we often see people convert. And so how you have to look at this is you say, okay, it's April 2023 today. So you take every lead you generate in April 2023, and you look at that in April 2024, and you say, what was my conversion rate on that? So it's best to look at it in the view of like a year, because I had some clients who signed up with us in November, and some of them got their first, second, third sale in March. So it took them like 4 or 5 months. Now I've had clients sign up in March who've already got 2 sales from this. So there's like, so that's like a month. There's a market timing factor for sure, where if you hit that spring hot market, which it is right now, not to say it's a hot market, the market is troublesome, to say the least, but this is when people are usually buying. They're not usually buying as much in December, especially in, you know, the north. So, I would say it's a long game, no matter how you look at it, but at the end of the day, you're dealing with people. So that person who typed in that thing to Google and clicked on your ad and went to your website and signed up and started using it and responded to your message, like that could be the first lead you ever get. It could be the 100th lead you get. It's like there's an element of randomness because we're dealing with people. And what people always ask these not the greatest questions, I would say, because like what is the conversion rate just isn't a good question. There's so many layers to that. And I hope I gave some insight on probably why that is, but it's a tough question to answer. Like what is the conversion rate and how long does it take to get a deal? Cause that wildly varies. Like I had a client last year who towards the end of the year, he didn't get his first deal for 4 months. So it was in his 5th month, but he closed 9 deals in his 5th month.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, if you extrapolate that back, that's, you know, just about 2 a month, but sometimes that's just the way it goes and there's no way around it. And I think of those 9 he had teed up, I think 2 or 3 of them actually dropped off. Oh, like really? He lost them. I found out later he like lost them in escrow or something. So there was like, that can happen too, right? It's like, oh, you got all these teed up and then all of a sudden you lose one. And that can happen regardless of your lead source. That's not unique to, you know, where the person comes from. So
Yeah, that happened to me when I got my license. I had a transaction within like the first month.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, thinking I was all, you know, I was the bee's knees, and then I didn't get anything for like 6 months after that. So it's easy to fall into that trap and create false expectations for yourself. I was going to talk about where agents go wrong with their advertising. We've gone there. What are some of the, are there any general themes with the people you work with? What are the habits or successful traits that they have? What is it about them that makes them stand above the rest?
I think if I had to summarize it in one word, it would be purely motivation. Our best clients are just, they show up and they're the ones that leave us these glowing testimonials. And, you know, we have this chat at our company called Client Wins, and we're posting there, it feels like daily, of just like little messages clients send us and stuff like that. And so like, what is the avatar of that person? I'm still working on identifying that, but I would put it down to motivation. I think a lot of them come with like motivation and trust. Like they trust us and they're motivated to make it work. So they use what we give them. They use us. Some people, they just want a magic pill or an easy pill. And that doesn't exist. For one thing, but it's not like building a real estate business is hard, especially a big one. If you want to be a 10 agent a year, just pay your way through life. That's not that hard. But if you want to build a team and structure a content strategy and an email marketing strategy and a digital strategy that's multifaceted and like hire an assistant and hire a salesperson and hire buyer's agents. And like, you really want to do that. Like that is, that's a lot of work and that takes a long time. So I think you need to be an entrepreneurial minded person. And if you're not, that's the 87% failure rate.
Yeah.
It's like they say, what is it? 10% of people are business owners. 87% of realtors fail. That's a 3% spread. So I think those 13% who succeed are just entrepreneurs, because that's essentially what real estate is if you want to do it, if you want to do it big.
Yeah, I talk about that a lot, mindset. You know, you can get into the weeds of all the tactics and all the nitty-gritty of what you can do, but if you're not in the right mindset, you're not going to do the consistent things you need to do in order to get to that next level of success. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised to hear that motivation is the biggest factor there.
I would just add to that. One thing I'm really big on is focus. Like I would say motivation and almost focus.
Yeah.
A lot of people get distracted by shiny objects constantly. And I always tell people, if you join my program, I'm going to work on getting you focused. They'll say, oh, do you think I should edit my own videos? I'm like, no, you need to focus on the highest value activities you possibly can. And that's why we provide you these services. Because what a lot of people do is they compare their first quarter to someone else's fourth quarter. So they see some successful agent, they see them on Instagram, they see them on TikTok and YouTube and whatever. And they're like, I got to do what they're doing. But they don't realize that that's not how they got there. So I can list a ton of clients who do 20 plus deals a year from one platform. Like I have a client who does 180 deals a year from Google Ads. I have a client who does 45 deals a year from YouTube. I have a client who does 50 deals a year from TikTok. Like, but they're just doing that one thing. So my guy I just joined actually a little while ago was doing YouTube. He's like, I won't take another type of lead. I won't even work with them. He joined us to generate a new lead source to grow his team. He's like, I only work with YouTube leads because they're so sold on me already. So like, you can have that same effect with Instagram or TikTok if you're committed to it. People know to go there to find you. You become known for it. For me, that was YouTube. And so it's way better to just be a master of one platform than to try to be a jack of all trades, because you're always going to get beat by the person who's doing the one thing the best. So pick the platform you like. For me, I tried to do Instagram for quite a while. I was okay at it. But I realized I had to really look myself in the mirror and say, I don't like Instagram.
Yeah.
Like I really don't like Instagram. I never have. I liked Facebook more because it was conversational. These days, to me, that's what Twitter gives me. So I made a decision actually recently. I'm not going to put a lot of energy into Instagram. So I kind of stopped posting on my personal Instagram and shifted focus to our company Instagram instead. And I said, I'm going to get focused on Twitter and YouTube because those are the platforms I use and I like.
Yeah.
So follow me on Twitter at Eric B. Preston.
I just followed you on Instagram, so now I'm going to go to Twitter and follow you there.
Well, you'll notice on Instagram, I'm just starting to repost agent launch stuff. And that's kind of where I'm going is like agent launch is going to be about YouTube and Instagram. Eric is going to be about YouTube and Twitter, and agent launch, we do a bit on LinkedIn and stuff too, but, I think it's just important, and obviously we're at a different level than probably a lot of people listening, right? We have a team of 19, so we're not new. So it makes sense for us to be exploring two channels. One of my clients did a workshop yesterday with our group, and her thing is YouTube and Instagram. But she's like, YouTube's where people find out about me, and Instagram's where I sell them. So I was like, that makes a lot of sense, because they go to YouTube, they consume your content, they like you, and then they go follow you on Instagram, and they start seeing you all the time. Right.
Personal. Yeah.
That's the value of Instagram. I believe in that. I just don't love it. So you don't find me doing the whole document of my journey on Instagram. Like it's just not me. I prefer to, start conversations. And I used to use Facebook for that. But now I think Twitter is going in the direction that I kind of believe in, where they're going to start monetizing creators. I think it has a lot of potential. It's the lowest used platform of all of them there, which means it has the highest opportunity for growth. Yeah. So I want to get a foothold there. I'm super new. I think I have 72 subscribers. So like I just started. Whereas YouTube, I have, 26,000. So YouTube has been always my thing and it still is. And it's because I think YouTube is a value first platform. You go there to learn, you go there to consume. And, YouTube changed my life, and I now help other people achieve the same thing.
I love that. So you have the mindset then, kind of along the same topics, you know, talk a lot about repurposing content. So you have a YouTube video, get a transcription, write a blog post about it, cut that up, stick it in an Instagram reel, then post something to LinkedIn, linking back to that YouTube video. If I'm a solo agent, would you recommend I spend my time doing that? Or instead of doing that with one video, record two videos?
Do you mean like repurposing or recording for the platform?
So if I'm a solo agent, I can either record one video and then put that out, repurpose it all over the place. So I'm just talking in terms of time.
Yeah.
Is my time better spent doing that or then recording my next video and going for volume there?
So let's break that down. The best way to do it would be to record content specifically for whatever platform. It's pretty easy though to cut up YouTube videos to be Instagram content.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's the best way to create Instagram content. Because Instagram, you have a lot less time to hook someone because it's a short form platform. Mm-hmm. So that being said, if you're good at YouTube, what I do is use complete sentences when I'm making my points on YouTube. So instead of saying, and point number two is you want to make sure that you're probably lost someone at that point. You want to make sure that when you're scripting a video, you do this. So instead I would say something like, and the second most important thing when scripting YouTube videos is this, so that it's a complete sentence so that my editing team can chop that up and it still makes sense to someone on Instagram. If I say the 7 secrets to scripting YouTube videos is my YouTube video, and I go, the first secret to scripting YouTube videos is this, then my team can chop that up into a complete thought, put it on Instagram as one video. They can do that for all 7 points. So your one video can create 7 Instagram videos. But if you're new to it, you might do something like, okay, and the first thing is going to be blah, 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 blah. You don't even mention what you're talking about, which is YouTube scripts. So I think if you want to repurpose, there's a strategy behind it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And that takes time of practice. And I think back to our point earlier, I think a lot of people don't want to put that time in. So it really is, you know, maybe play around with all the platforms and see where you're good at, but then ultimately is figure out what you're good at and really dive deep into it.
And I will say this, I got into YouTube because, well, one, because I didn't love Instagram, as I already mentioned. And at the time when I started, it felt like it was one or the other. And YouTube was still at this untapped market, I think. But when I worked for this company, this real estate marketing agency, before I got into and started my own company, I was given a role by the leadership to actually go out to real estate brokerages and present on how to run Facebook ads as a way for us to generate inbound leads for our sales team. That was really successful. And I think I accounted for like 35% of top line revenue on a team of 19 salespeople.
Oh, wow.
And so I learned and was given the opportunity by them, and I'm very grateful for that, to go out and present. And they gave me kind of full reins to just, hey, take this thing, which the COO at the time did like 2 of these a month, maybe 3, said, take this thing and just run with it. So I was like prospecting brokerages. I was setting up in-person live workshops. And I ended up doing like 120 live and probably 30 online. So that's 150 times I had already like presented to realtors on digital marketing. So YouTube for me made a lot of sense because it's long form. My workshops were like an hour long, roughly. So for me to like translate that to YouTube made more sense. Because it was a similar skill. YouTube's long form, it's teaching, it was very engaging. I got a lot of great feedback on my webinars. But I will say that transferring that skill from a live audience where you can get feedback and you can see people and engage to just like staring at a camera and doing this and trying to be energetic, it's like it's a whole different ballgame. But some of that did transfer.
Yeah. I do want to jump back real quick to the lead stuff. Because I think follow-up is more important than generation in itself, right? Because the best lead is the one you can actually engage with. What kind of stuff are you, you know, you talked about the videos. What are the kind of things you're sending out to leads in terms of follow-up? Are you setting them up with buyer searches? What are the most effective ways of getting people to engage with agents?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think the saved search is the traditional and probably stickiest thing you can do. So the first goal is to get them on a good saved search so that you're sending them relevant properties, because that's what they want first and foremost. So if you're sending them relevant properties, they're going to keep looking at those properties and you can track and monitor that. So that's how you make your website sticky. I think the real success is in the phone process. It's how you learn to talk to people. Is it, hey, how many beds and baths are you looking for? What areas are you looking in? It's like at that point, you're an order taker. If you ask thought-provoking questions that get to their pain points, problems, and goals, and that helps you build an authentic, genuine connection with people. And that genuine connection is what's going to lead to sales. Because at the end of the day, people are going to be using multiple websites, as we discussed. Why are they going to come back to yours and why are they going to talk to you? Well, a lot of people that come to me and they say, Eric, I'm getting on the call with people. I'm talking to them a couple of times. I was just talking to a client that's struggling right now in the last couple of days. And he was kind of like, I'm having three or four conversations and then they're just ghosting me. And I was like, well, he's like, this keeps happening. And I'm like, hey, well, what that tells me is they're probably not ghosting someone else. Like they're choosing someone else over you. So you need to work on what value you're creating for these people. And he went over his script he was using, and it wasn't even the script we were teaching. So I was like, well, I don't know where you were getting that, because you're going defaulting back to like order taking. And no one's going to want to work with an order taker. Like you need to find out what their kids' names are, their dog's names are. Like, what is it about their current home that just isn't working for them, that has them even looking at other options? And that's one of the questions, you know, we encourage people to ask, is like those type of thought provoking questions where they say, well, you know, what is it about my current situation or my home that has me exploring other options? Like, you know, who's making this move with you? Like diving deep. And one of the things we do is the first video I get my clients to make is called the number one property search website in Bellevue, let's say, or Seattle. And we get them to send that to every lead as soon as they sign up on the website. It's like, that's the first email people get is this video. And then we send it again on the second day. And the reason we send that video is because that video tells them that our website is the only place you're going to get realtor only data. It's the best website because it has the most up-to-date information. This is how you can, and it teaches them how to save a search, how to request more information, how to schedule a showing. If there's non-public information they want, we teach them how to contact us to get it by using the request information feature. Say, hey, if there's something you want to know that's not public, I'll go up and dig that out for you. That's the service we offer. So making a video that shows them how to get the most of the website, how to contact you, how our team is dedicated to helping you and giving you this information quickly. And that's the reason you need to use our website.
I love that. I really love the analogy of order taking. I haven't heard that before, but it's so true.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you want to obviously avoid, is just sounding like everyone else. And so, but yeah, we use a video heavy strategy these days. It's not required, but it obviously helps. And so it's like, why use my website? Why not use realtor.com? Why not use Zillow? Why not use another agent? Why not use, there's so many websites you can use. What is the one reason they're going to come back to you? Maybe it's because, hey, they wanted to see if there was any liens on the house, or they wanted to see something that was not public and you gave it to them. They'd be like, oh, this is cool. This agent's like finding stuff I can't see myself. Yeah. Zillow's not going to do that.
Yeah. I love that. And so, in terms of cadence, you kind of, you said you send the same video 2 days in a row. And then how often are things going out to the leads? Because it can get a bit noisy and they can get a bit turned off. But at the same time, you kind of do need to stay in their peripheral.
So our general cadence is a touch point via text, email, and phone on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 10. And then pretty much weekly after that. So you want to front load it for sure. You want to try your best to get that relationship started in the beginning. So we used to do 7 different videos for that. Now I actually shortened it to 4. And so this is when I rewrote our whole drip campaign with ChatGPT a couple months ago, and it turned out really good. And so we used the first video on day 1 and 2, the second video on day 2 and 3. Or sorry, 3 and 4, and then a third video on day 7 and a fourth video on day 10. So I like sending the first video twice because people often don't watch it the first time. You want to refer back to it and refer back to why it's important. So we use things like, hey, save 5 hours a week with this search. The reason you need to set up the save search properly is because properties are going really fast right now and you don't want to miss out. So make sure that these are coming to you daily so that as soon as a property hits MLS, you're going to get sent an email showing you that, hey, it's a property in your area fitting your criteria is available. Let's take action now. So if you want to do this, like as soon as you get that, let me know you want to schedule a showing. I can call the listing agent. We can tee this up. It's important to be fast now than ever. Right?
Yeah. I love that. And in terms of coaching, how much time do people get with you? Does it depend on the like tiered levels of services you guys offer?
You know, it's funny. We've never done tiers. We try to get clear on who our target audience is and have one streamlined program. We have like 5 coaching calls a week on everything that we have as a done for you service, which is like Google Ads, setup, maintenance, et cetera. We have YouTube coaching, video editing. We build out a sales system for our clients. So we build out their CRM. We have a recruiting service. So we have coaching every week for all of those things, depending on which part of it is. One-on-one, everyone gets assigned an account manager. So you have one-on-one support constantly. You also have a media buyer that's assigned to you. So you have one-on-one support there. Haley, my VP of operations, Axel, our director of paid media, myself, we do often do one-on-ones. It's just kind of as needed basis, depending on the situation.
Yeah. I think that would be reassuring to people who would be wary of like signing up and then feel like they just have to, they're left to themselves. I think that's important that people know they're going to get that handholding, like you said earlier.
It's important to us too, because I think that's where most companies go wrong. And if you just go and read our testimonials, I mean, we have like 70 of them online. You can go check out. And that's the one consistent theme is actually you'll see people mention our support is really good.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is like, we know what it's like to work with other providers and we know what it's like when the support isn't good.
Right. Like
that's probably the number one complaint thing. And we just want to make sure people know we're there for them. The problem is when people don't use it. Like it's there. It's like some people just don't use it.
I wanted to just ask you real quick before we sign off, because I think, you know, with that, obviously you guys are a top tier. What are some pitfalls that you can recommend that you can identify, help agents identify? Because, you know, I was an agent. There's a million services that are being thrown at you. And, you know, like you said, the shiny toy syndrome, shiny object syndrome. What are some things that agents can look at with these companies that say, all right, this is legit, or this is a red flag? What are the pitfalls of some of those companies that agents can identify?
It's a good question. Big outlandish guarantees, because it's the new marketers, the young guys who are in the, you know, digital marketing agency coaching programs, who are taught to throw out a big guarantee to hook people in. So it's a guarantee you're going to get a closing. You can't guarantee someone's going to sell anything. You can't guarantee someone's good enough to sell a house or invested enough, that you can't guarantee they're going to build a relationship with someone. I can guarantee people, I will tee up a lot of opportunities for you. I will tee up a lot of leads. I will build you the systems. I will do all of this stuff. But I know better than to do that, because when you offer guarantees like that, it attracts lazy clients and who just don't want to do the work because they're like, whatever, I have a guarantee. That's the kind of attitude. But be cautious of the agency that offers guarantees, because I guarantee you, a lot of them are new, young marketers who don't know the sales cycle of real estate. They don't understand the business. And the loss isn't just in your money. It's in your time and energy. It's the opportunity cost of not going with the right solution and going with the wrong solution with a guarantee. Even if you get your money back, you still probably invested ad spend. You still probably invested a lot of time. And that's your real loss. And then you're going to think other agencies aren't like that. So I think what you need to look for is social proof. And we do a lot of work to get that out. A lot of people like to call our current clients. I'm like, I totally support that. I don't care at all. I just don't want to bombard them, but they're happy to do it. So look at people's reviews. Like it's better to look at a holistic picture of a company's testimonials, videos, like go into the weeds in our reviews, like go onto our review page. And like we have 57 5-star reviews on Google, like just read them. You'll see the intricacies of what people say, and you can pull a lot from that. mm-hmm. as opposed to just relying on one of your friend's advice or whatever. Because what people will do is they'll ask their mentor at KW or something. They have like a KW Maps coach who's reading The Million Dollar Real Estate Agent, the 25-year-old book that's teaching people how to door knock, which is just crazy to me. And they're like, oh, my Maps coach, who's like 60 years old, is telling me not to invest in this. Online marketing doesn't work, or online lead gen doesn't work, or Facebook ads don't work, or Google ads don't work, or whatever it is. Like, just be careful of who you listen to. My general rule of thumb in business is I will not listen to anyone about money unless they make 10 times more than I do. So you have to make a lot of money for me to listen to you.
Yeah, I like that. And when it comes to listening, who to listen to, I recognize that pretty early, that a lot of the agents that have been in the industry for 15, 20 years, they had built that referral network up where they didn't have to do the kind of lead generation that, you know, you need to do today. So they probably weren't as aware of what to do. You know, one thing I used to do is, you know, talking about testimonials, I would actually reach out to the people in the testimonials and ask about the product. And there was one in particular, there were like four or five of them, didn't use the product anymore, thought it sucked. I was like, well, I'm definitely not signing up for this then.
You know, so. Totally. And I encourage people to do that. Cause like, but also do it with more than one person. Like, because one person, like I will tell you, any agency out there in any industry is going to have successes and failures with clients. And it's about who's maximizing the successes.
Yeah.
Like I'd put our success rate is over 75%. And like, I think that's extremely good in this industry. But it doesn't, nothing works for everyone. And that's why you got to reach out to more than one person. I also think you got to be wary of the companies that make promises that are too, like the worst part about real estate is the sales cycle is incredibly long. If I was doing lead generation for a dentist, we could have clients in their door next week.
Right.
In real estate, it's like, we're talking about a huge purchase that takes months and months to actually get that, your return on investment. So anyone who tells you anything but it's a long game and you need to think of it as a long game, the amount of clients I've said that to upfront, I'm like, we can get you some deals in the next few months, but the most of the money is going to be made next year. Like I can get you ROI positive in the first few months if you follow the process, but that's not where you're really going to make your money. The money's made in the long term. And so if anyone's selling you a short-term vision, that's a big red flag.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. Listen, so much information. I'm wary of giving out any more because there's a lot for people to digest. Where can people find you? Where are the best places? Obviously, Twitter, you said, YouTube. What's the YouTube account?
Yeah, follow me on YouTube at Eric B. Preston. You'll find me. You can also check out agentlaunch.com, our website. Just click schedule, fill out a short form. You can schedule a call with us and we can tell you all about our program, our services, and we have a few different options for people. And follow me on Twitter, Eric B. Preston as well.
How do people get on your mailing list? Because I love all the emails you send out. How does someone get on there?
Go to my YouTube channel, download one of our lead magnets. I have a few depending on which video you watch, or you can just go to our website, book a call with us, and you'll be on it by default that way.
Okay. All right, man. Appreciate it. That was great.
All right, Paolo. Thanks for having me.